This week on the program, there's a fifth member sitting down to chat this week. It's Joe Pesci's wig. It's the Super. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cavan.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this is a comedy show where we use a movie to start a rambunctious conversation that you know what? Who knows where it's going to go?
Rambunctious.
Oh, comedy. You think I'm funny? Do you think we're funny?
I'm really excited because this is the start of the summer blockbuster extravaganza. We're talking about a superhero movie.
Steve. No. Wait.
No, it's the super.
No, this is the movie where Joe Pesci's a slumlord in Brooklyn.
Oh, I watched something.
This isn't the Rainn Wilson movie?
Oh, God.
You mean that blockbuster?
This is The Super from 1991, directed by Rod Daniel, who also directed one of, like, the famous, like, building blocks of We Hate Movies episodes, K-9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Also of Beethoven's Second and Teen Wolf.
Yes, that's right.
We've done Teen Wolf 2. We need to do Beethoven 1.
Yeah.
But Beethoven's Second, that's the movie where Beethoven prevents a rape from happening.
Yeah.
Well,
he's a real hero.
We get through all the Beethovens.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Some heroes are St. Bernards.
Mm-hmm. And not all supers are heroes, like this movie. By the way, written by late Simpsons creative Sam Simon. This is a real fucking stain on his legacy.
You would think you would take your name off this one. Like, from the beginning.
Well, Nora Ephron already did, so somebody had to be on this thing.
Look, somebody had to write it, guys. We're going to draw straws. Simon, it was you.
Just, like, give Joe Pesci $1,000 and you could say he wrote it.
No one would believe that Joe Pesci wrote a movie.
I would. I would watch this movie.
This movie, yeah. So I saw this for the first time last night, so I feel like I'm unqualified to distill.
Yeah, you should leave the room.
To distill the what this movie is. So one of you three guys is going to have to take it. What is The Super?
So Joe Pesci he's given a building in New York to be the landlord for from his evil fucking father.
Literally evil.
And he gets a bunch of lawsuits against him, and it turns out he has to spend 120 days in his own building, which is just disgusting, and he has to fix it up or he goes to jail for a year.
It's a very Seinfeldian sentence.
Yeah. It is. Right.
And I've seen this movie more than I've seen Goodfellas, probably.
Wow.
I am with him, actually.
This was on TV ad nauseum in the 90s. I think it might have been like HBO or something.
Yeah,
HBO
for sure. I saw this a ton.
Really?
A ton. Yeah. And I was living in a slum at the time. So it reminded me very much of where I was. Not a slum. It was just a shitty apartment building in the Bronx, which some anecdotes might slip in. We'll see how it goes.
I always knew what this was, but this was like one of the rare cases of me as a little youth being like, nah, that looks stupid.
Yeah, you're
because
good.
The picture for the poster
is
a large African-American gentleman, a very tall guy, holding Joe Pesci up like with one arm. And Joe Pesci's like, he's got his hands out like, what do you want me to do about it? And I was like, that looks fucking stupid.
I was like, put that on right now.
Stop it. Mom, stop everything.
Watching The Super. Super's on.
I mean, even Eddie Murphy could pick him up. It's Joe Pesci.
Yeah,
the guy's
true.
The size of a pebble.
Has there ever been a movie where someone is shrugging their shoulders in the poster and it turned out to be a good movie? Because usually a shrug of the shoulder is like, you know, animal, you know, in the animal world, like, you know, you bare your teeth. That's an act of aggression.
Right.
In the movie world, you shrug your shoulders. It's letting everyone know, like, we tried. It didn't work out.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah.
I'm picturing, was there ever, in my head, I don't know why, there's like a movie poster somewhere with Ryan Reynolds doing the shrug.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Was he shrugging in the poster for that Waiting movie?
No, it might have been definitely maybe.
Yeah, so then there you go.
Oh, I'm going to look at
the shoulder.
Now.
You know, show me some shoulder shrugs on Twitter, everybody. I want to see what these movies look like, but I think I'm right.
No, definitely maybe he's got a kid on his shoulders, so that's not going to work.
You can't shrug those shoulders. The kid will fall off.
You can't. There's a stupid kid on your back.
Good way to kill your kid, though.
That movie does suck,
though. Was it The Proposal? Is he shrugging on that one?
Oh, maybe. Let's see. In that movie, I believe Betty White raps.
Oh yeah. Really? That's why you're going to shrug your shoulders.
What are you going to do? We tried to stop her.
No, that movie, that poster is Sandra Bullock's got him up against the wall, so he's all like straight-laced.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, maybe I'll think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This movie is not funny at all.
No, it's... So we start in like the... I want to know how old he's supposed to be in this movie.
Because are you referring to the fact that the opening shot where it's just the credits over this dull black and white New York City old-timey footage looks straight out of Godfather 2?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like Robert De Niro should be running on a fucking rooftop after the super right
but
here.
But it's also maybe the 60s, I'm thinking, just from like the car style.
I could have sworn I saw a fucking horse-drawn carriage, though.
an orange cart. Yeah, it's... And it's him and like his dad. They're like collecting rent on it. He's like, me and my dad. It's always a classic. The movie is a mess. Start with first person narration.
Absolutely.
Like, that's going to go nowhere.
I loved Sundays with my dad. We got his big fucking Cadillac.
Before that, he talks about the breakfast and it's like Reynolds Woodcock shit. Yeah. It's like we had pancakes, waffles, bacon.
My dad made the best bacon and we would sit there and he would read the Turner Diaries to us.
Kevin, that's a great point because that line stuck out to me. I was like, your dad made the best bacon? He fucking just successfully heated up salt pork? What are you talking about?
I mean, there's a difference. You know, some people like it under, some people like a little over. I like a little crunchy, my friend.
I've just never said that anyone versus someone else made better bacon. You're either making bacon or you're not making bacon.
It all depends on how you turn off the stove. That's it. That's your magic trick you just did to make good bacon. You turned it off at the right time.
My father raised his own pigs in the basement.
We slaughter them together. It was beautiful.
He would tan them, and then he'd let them cure for a couple of months.
We cut that pig's throat like we cut the throat of some of these tenants we had in our building.
Well, here's the thing. This movie
is... It's human bacon.
When I turned 16 and I hit puberty, we drank a thing of pig's blood together, and it was beautiful. Me and my dad.
I'm not convinced that Joe Pesci has hit puberty yet, by the way. We'll see what happens in The Irish
My dad did the best dark rituals in the basement. Every Sunday, we would... make a sacrifice to the demon Baal.
That's right. I used to have four sisters. Then after one Sunday, I had three.
My dad was Bluebeard. What can I tell you?
I gotta tell you, boy, the house was prosperous after we sent her to hell.
Great tidings, Dark Lord. Thank you very much. Thank you for the building, Dark Lord.
Dad, do we bathe in the blood now? Is that what we do? We get the kiddie pool out, we bathe in the blood.
See, now I'm into this idea of like a Joe Pesci Satanist movie, just because we're not Satanist, but like, you know, a dark ritual movie, because like that's not something you'd see Joe Pesci do. Like,
absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Not.
No.
Yeah, I'm from Jersey, and I fucking sacrifice people. I got a cult. What do you want? Yeah, what do you want?
No one would suspect a thing, you know?
No, that's actually true.
Move it or lose it, Beelzebub! You know, like Joe Pesci.
Yeah, like the police come by, like pull him over. He's got like a bloody robe hanging out of the trunk or something. He's like, nah, my kid's in marching band, all right? I'm sorry, sir. Here you go.
I got the title, in case you're wondering.
Yes. What's that?
Little Devil.
Yeah.
Because he's a tiny man.
Oh, and he's like shrugging on it, like a little smile shrug. Like, what are you going to do? I'm in a cult.
The fuck you say to me, Dark Lord?
There's like little like lipstick drawn fucking horns on his head on the poster.
Oh yeah, totally.
I'm scary. How scary? Like a trip to the dentist, or is scary like your mom is calling you at 4 o'clock in the morning? How am I scary? How am I fucking scary to you?
If you think I'm scary like a dentist, I will drill you.
Dance, Alistair Cromwell, dance.
Crowley.
But this movie is racist as sin.
This movie...
And from the jump, it's racist.
This movie, it's... I am an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
That said, the fact that this movie doesn't use the N-word may be a sign that God exists. Because it is scraping at the... This movie so desperately wants to use the N-word.
Yeah.
You can just... You can, like, smell it coming off this movie.
I made a bet with my wife, and I lost. I was like, he's got to say it.
He had to say it. How did he not?
He's got to say it.
There's so many scenes where he has to stop his father, because you can tell he's going to go
the
there.
The father, yeah, he's ready to just spit it right out.
But we do the thing where we do everything but, which is kind of, it's not worse, but it's really close. It's kind of a seesaw that's exactly even.
There's one in the, I'm not going to say because I don't know what it means, but there's one in the dining room where I was like, what the fuck
is that? I never even heard this one, and I grew up, yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. The ones
you grew
that
up
you...
What?
No, I grew up in the Bronx, and you heard a lot of weird Italian slurs.
But that's what I'm saying. The ones that you don't immediately know what they mean, those are definitely the worst ones ever. Every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're like a dark ancient evil, you know?
It's like somebody says that, like they gotta like immediately like go home and sit in the dark because they use such powerful racism.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta go upstate and I gotta find some chickens to slaughter. Ah, shit.
Yeah, speaking of blood rituals.
You a virgin? Come on, get in my car. Get in my car.
Oh, man, just him abducting kids.
Sure.
And you know how he could do that is dressing like a kid because he's about kid height.
Dude, no, he almost does that in this movie, by the way.
He would finally do what he doesn't, what he threatens to do in Home Alone. I'm going to bite off all your little fingers.
Oh.
I'm going to bite off all your little fingers. That just, I don't know why. he's a regular, degular thief in that movie, and then he turns into an old witch, and it creeps me out every time.
I guarantee you, if he bites you, dude, you can't get him off.
No, definitely.
It's like a snapping turtle.
Yeah.
You got to like find a way to like get around and like stick your finger in his ass. Like that's exactly. The only way he's going to break loose.
What the fuck you do to me?
Yeah, you've got such a small moment of window before it clamps down again. So you got to really.
Well, yeah, he's like a fucking alligator, man. Yeah. You're not going to get it out of that.
You got to look out because then he'll clinch his ass to hold you in place so that he could bite you.
Oh,
again.
No, Joe Pesci's going into a death roll.
By the way, we'll get to it when it comes up, but speaking of Home Alone, I think John Hughes was cribbing a little bit from this movie to write Home Alone 2.
Oh.
I absolutely believe that after seeing this fucking piece of shit.
So he, speaking of racism, his dad immediately tackles this black tenant that he has.
Oh, chases him down in the street and tackles him.
And, it's this thing like, give me the rent, blah, blah, blah. Where's the rent? And, there's like a lot of stuff where like the little fat Joe Pesci kid.
Here's a question really quickly. Has that little kid actor played young Joe Pesci in something else before?
What?
Oh, maybe in like, you're thinking Goodfellas, maybe the same kid?
No.
Not Goodfellas, but God, was there something else where you see like a little kid Joe Pesci?
I think that kid has played the younger version of another actor. Ooh. For sure.
Because he looked really familiar, and I was like, is this like little Joe Pesci from like Gone Fishing or something?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
We got to look up this little kid now. Let's go to the little IMDb.
Kid IMDb.
Little IMDb.
Yeah, and the dad just like tackles this. Does he punch this guy in the face?
He does a couple times.
Yeah, right? Okay, I thought so.
And it's like, the guy's giving him all sorts of excuses and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
And like the kid is in on it. And like the kid's like shutting down his excuses at the same time.
Well, no, he's like, at first he's like, well, yeah, let him have it. Oh, get him another thing. And he's like, oh, really? Well, he will affect the amount of
allowance.
It's a percentage, you see.
Yeah.
And now it's 3%.
Yeah.
And then soon it'll be 2% if you let this guy go. And he's like, oh, I'm a monster now.
Yep, dude, he turns on a dime. He turns that kid on a dime.
Well, he does this weird thing. He's like, you want to take candy out of my kid's mouth? And it's like, I don't know, dude, my kids can't eat, so that's fucking fine.
Also, look at this little fucking butterball, man. Maybe he shouldn't have so many sweets.
All right, you want me to read you this actor, the kid that plays young Louis' filmography?
Please.
Is it just the super?
Yeah.
The super. I was wrong.
So we cut to Joe Pesci's birthday party. And this is where I'm very confused how old this guy is. Because he acts like he's in his early 20s. Like, you know what I mean? They treat him like he's a kid.
Right, because he's, like, given this building. And it seems like a, you just graduated college. Here's your first building like, kind of thing.
It is mid-40s.
He's like, 48 years old when this movie came out.
But and, this, he looks every day of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe a little more, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
I'm actually shocked to hear that he was 48 years old. But I think the thing that does it, though, is this fucking wig that he's got on in this movie. Because it doesn't change. It's like you see Joe Pesci's birthday party and, you know, they're singing happy birthday. He's blindfolded. They take it off. It's like, happy birthday. Here's your building we're giving you. And then it cuts immediately like a few years even farther into the future. And now he's like this super successful rich tenant or landlord. And he's got the same, it's just the same fucking rug.
Yeah, sure.
That I think he was, like, and that birthday party scene, I think he's supposed to be like 20-something.
Oh, maybe. I see. So it had been his building.
Can I ask you, is this the first time that a wig got second billing?
I think so,
It might have been? Okay.
I think this wig was nominated for something.
I will say.
Well, why don't we ask the wig? It's in the room today, right? Isn't it?
Oh, that's right.
The fifth member today?
Yes, I pay. Joe is fantastic. Total professional the entire way through.
They wanted to staple me on his head, but Joe insisted no, bobby pins only. He didn't want to hurt me.
Let me ask you, did you ever see him bite anyone?
Yes, several times. He was a biter.
And I'm a biter, too. I almost chomped off Vincent Gardenia's entire hand.
Well, actually, it was actually not just me, but me and my twin, because there is those wig labor laws.
Of course.
You get my twin as
You
well.
Can only have horsehair work so many direct hours in a row.
Yeah, wigs can only work temp to perm.
You know, Jesus fucking Christ.
Nailed it. Oh, yes.
You disgust me.
I like that one. I'll be honest, dude. Okay, that one did it.
All right. I was actually nervous when I was saying it.
Yeah, you should be.
Okay.
You know, I originally worked with Bing Crosby. Very professional. But
Bing Crosby.
Way more of a racist than Joe Pesci.
I'm 100 years old. I'm a wig.
What do you think the lifespan is of a Hollywood wig?
Oh, it's got to be. You're throwing it out after
really?
Every...
Really? One production and done.
I don't think that's true. Uh-huh.
I think there's some, like most of the cases, they're throwing it out. But there's some that's like that deep ancient evil.
But this wig's got personality. It's like the Chris Evans of
fucking
wigs. I was
made out of
wigs.
A horse that was killed during the Adventures of Robin Hood.
A long tradition.
Errol Flynn, he was into some kinky shit.
He's a biter, too.
My family got the acting bug. I will say that the hue, which is, he's got like a red hair thing. It's the same color that Arnold Schwarzenegger's hair is, unfortunately, in Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, you're
that
totally
red
right.
Red mane. Like, I don't know why we're in the early 90s. Everyone needed to have red hair, especially fucking Joe Pesci.
I don't know.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's very uncomfortable to look at this head of hair.
I don't know. It's kind of arousing. That light tint of color there.
Give it a Gillian Anderson. That's what it is. I like that X-Files.
Yes, I too would like the Gillian Anderson.
Who is that?
You know, I don't believe in aliens, Malta.
I think it was just a weather balloon.
Yeah, there's got to be a rational explanation. I mean, they can't get their ass to Mars. There's no flying saucer.
You think it's the Jersey Devil? Okay, Mulder.
Okay, yeah, Mulder. It's fucking vampires, all right? Yeah, there's a bunch of fucking vampires in this little fucking town. You fucking idiot!
Are you trying to tell me there's a human parasite, a humanoid thing in the toilet that comes and eats people from outside the toilet? That's great. That's great, Mulder.
Wait. So he turned himself into jelly and squozed through those fucking jail cell bars? Yeah, okay. Okay, smart guy.
Yeah, the autopsy does not suggest this.
Oh, no, it's a bunch of bees. Look out, Malda. Get to the chopper, Malda. Yeah. Also, our sexual tension is through the roof.
Get down into my bed.
Yeah, Malda, I have some bad news. Yeah, the deep throat was assassinated on the bridge.
Hey, Malda, whatever happened to our son? Did he ever make it or what?
Yeah, dude, William lived.
Mm.
Made it right till that final lap.
But he's got a red hair in this.
Yes, he definitely does.
He set the stage.
Here's another thing I want to point out, because we're talking about Joe Pesci's wardrobe. I'm pretty confident Joe Pesci has worn the same coat through his entire career. Just these long, like, wool coats. Yeah, yeah. I think he's a bring from home guy.
Didn't you read the interview with his coat?
Yes, I've been in a long line of Hollywood films.
I almost got stolen from a few coat rooms.
I do think, though, his wardrobe in this movie is hilarious. I do love his outfits in this. His outfits in My Cousin Vinny, there should be an exhibit of all of the clothes everyone wears in My Cousin Vinny.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you've inspired something, because at the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria, Queens, one of their permanent exhibits is they have in, like, color wheel order all of the suits that De Niro wore in Casino.
Oh, sure.
You could get the My Cousin Vinny wardrobes and put it right next to it in that museum. The fucking suits that he wears and the outfits that Marissa Tomei has.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Oh, my God.
They should put it in the film museum in Berlin where there's all the dresses of Marlena Dietrich. Yeah. Put Joe Pesci's little suits next to those.
Oh, those would be tiny suits.
Travel around the country like they did with Bowie's outfits.
There you go.
That was a great exhibit.
Joe Pesci is?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm a bit of an iconoclast. Put on these headphones, you'll go inside of a museum, you'll hear different things at different parts.
You know, identity's kind of malleable. You gotta change it up every once in a while.
Yeah, this was one of my suits from Goodfellas. Yeah, oh, that's the mustard stain.
So, whatever. He's a super. He's given the building by his dad.
Right.
And then we kind of cut to him just being a bad... Well, the thing is, he's not a super. I'm sorry. He's a landlord.
He is a landlord.
Yes. Or specifically, as the IMDb credits him, a slumlord.
He's most definitely a slumlord.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's doing the thing where he goes to the building, he walks all the way to the top floor, and then just proceeds to go to every unit, you know, till he makes his way back down to the ground floor, collecting the rent, which is a weird thing.
I guess it's weird because, like, I mean, we've all lived in buildings forever now, and I've paid rent for quite a bit. But, like, now you do it either online or you just mail somebody a check or whatever.
There's generally, this isn't always the case. Like, we had one super in Queens that wasn't this. Like, it's generally paid toward a management company.
Yes, exactly.
And there aren't many privately owned buildings. There's a few, but, you know, usually dealing with a corporation of some kind.
Meet your landlord, what, twice a year? Tops?
Not even. Yeah, I've never met my landlord.
Well,
I've been in the middle of
when we
years.
Lived in Astoria,
oh, well, okay.
Yeah, well,
we had a landlord that was would hang out with us much.
Yeah, that dude was like the fourth roommate.
Well, he would come in and be like, I'm doing repairs, and I'm like, I'm really high on mushrooms right now. Could you not?
Trying to jerk off here, Harry.
When you first told me that story, and I was so glad I wasn't there for that, because I don't think I would have been able to handle any type of interaction with my eyes were saucers.
Fine, you're going to come in and fix the sink, I'm going to fall through this bookshelf. Yeah,
exactly. Stop asking me what that smell is. You know what that smell is.
You're very well aware.
Chris, remember our one landlord before that when we were also in Astoria, Gus?
Gus or some guy.
Yeah, well, okay, this is a made-up name for the show.
Yeah,
but anyway. That guy was nuts.
And he would just
Death stare, dude.
And he would walk down at night and just, like, hang out in his cab, like, just sit in it and, like, smoke cigarettes.
Oh, because he was thinking about killing himself.
Oh, sure.
Definitely.
You two as tenants?
Oh, my God, and his fat son. His fat, useless son, who was always, like, constantly repairing a Ducati motorcycle.
Oh, yes.
Never rode, and I don't know what he did. Well, I think that's all he did.
I mean, he would break that motorcycle if he tried to get on it.
Yeah, definitely.
It'd be like those two guys with the cowboy hats and the fucking sunglasses.
It's like, I thought I was a fat, useless son.
I had a super when I was growing up he's an older Dominican guy, but for some reason sounded exactly like Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade. Okay. But his thing, he had a catchphrase, literally, because we had a garbage room where you would, like, throw out larger pieces of garbage. We had an incinerator chute where you'd throw out garbage bags, whatever.
I wish I had an incinerator in this building. God, what a dream. Just an incinerator,
dude, an incinerator when you're going through puberty, excellent.
Well, yeah, you can get rid of all the bodies.
I was going to say all the pornography printouts.
Yes, exactly. But whenever you throw something out, like, a little bit larger, you'd have to bring it down to the garbage room. But he would always complain when you did that because you'd have to haul it out. He's like, come on, man, I'm not Hercules. I can't be doing that. And his thing was always, I'm not Hercules. No matter what, you could put down like a stack of newspaper. Come on, I'm not Hercules. You can't. Oh,
Johnny, Hercules. Come on. Why
Why won't you go down on me?
Come on, baby. I'm not Hercules.
Can't you shower once in a while? I'm not Hercules here.
Oh man, God. What a catchphrase to have.
I'm not Hercules.
I might co-opt that.
When I first moved to New York.
Oh, by the way, an ending, a button on that story. They burned his door down on New Year's Eve.
What?
Just his door?
Just his door down. We came back from
they? The yeah. royal they?
No, some. I think some bad kids in the building burned down his door on New Year's Eve.
The say that kids.
Yeah. No, we were out. We were out at a New Year's party. We had an alibi. I apologize. I cut you off.
No. That's a good story.
Some yeah, if ever someone there. Needed to be cut off.
But when I first moved to New York, I was so poor that I moved into someone's living room.
I remember that.
Yeah. This dude, Hero, he was staying in New York, and it was a one-bedroom apartment, and I just moved into his living room. We never told the landlord this or whatever. So whenever he came over, like, the landlord, he hated my guts so much. He would always like knock on the door and be like, I don't like this funny business. This funny business. So I've been saying funny business for like 10 years.
Forever.
By funny business, did he think that A, you were doing what you were doing, which is subletting out of a living room, or did he think you were boyfriends?
I think it's the B.
Yeah,
it's
your
B.
boyfriends.
Yeah, it might be that.
Option
that.
B.
He would always come over to harass us to see. He's like, you don't have any pets? You have pets? Pet? No pet in this building.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
No. And he's just like, oh, this is a funny business. I'm sure you're right about the boyfriend.
Yeah, he thought you guys were sleeping again.
Are you the shedder? No. You're the dog. You shed. Funny business.
So this building's a real fucking dump, man. Yeah. Like, this place should be condemned. It's really fallen into disrepair. Mm-hmm. It's like an extreme. And I think the thing here is, like, they thought this movie was like a social satire.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like a racist bad 90s comedy.
Yes.
And so the whole thing,
racist money pit, kind of.
Yeah, it is racist money pit. That's a great way to describe it. It's a thing where, like, you know, there's no real running water. All the toilets are clogged back up with, like, gray gunk. There's no electricity in the building.
But except for the party apartment. The party apartment. It is wonderful for some reason.
I think it's because it's the ground floor and they might be running cables from another building or something.
And Tito's apartment isn't bad either.
Yeah.
Well, they complain about, like, how the kid has no electricity.
Electricity, but the whole the whole place doesn't have electricity, apparently.
But then Joe Pesci's line, well, neither did Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
Lincoln didn't have electricity.
And that comes back later for a good one.
You see him, you know, giving all of these.
How does the building not have electricity for even, like, and I understand, like, blah, blah, blah. He does, like, this is when you don't do that horseshit. You do put this guy in prison. Like, you need to, you don't have 120 days. Do it now or go to jail.
Or be executed, I think.
They should shoot this guy right in the fucking street. Mm-hmm. I mean, eat the rich, dude. Absolutely.
Come on, I can't be giving you electricity. I'm not Hercules.
This Thomas Edison is a funny business. I don't want this electricity.
Like, I'm trying to fix this fucking Ducati motorcycle over here, okay?
That's going to take the entire day. You know what? A week or two. You know what? Forever. He's still doing it, dude. I bet you.
You see him, like, meeting all the... Yeah, this is how we're introduced to the tenants in the building. One of which is Ruben Blades. And, you know, this is where you have Joe... Like, Ruben Blades is like, hey, man, where's the electricity? Joe Pesci throws in a you Latins this that the other thing, so you can really smell where this movie's going right away.
And then there's another Latino couple that don't speak any English, and he's like, "I don't understand. You don't speak English." And they're like, "Blah blah blah. What's going?" They're yelling about, like, the door doesn't work.
They're very obviously showing him a broken door, and his whole, like, slumlord thing is like, the door wasn't broken when I leased you this apartment.
Sure.
It only broke after you broke it, so it's your problem.
Yeah.
It's like a real slumlord thing, but also I think it just carries into a real misunderstanding on the part of Joe Pesci's family about, like, the responsibilities of owning a building. Like, these people don't own these things, motherfucker. You do.
You gotta fix it.
This brings up a question. What am I supposed to be laughing at here?
The racism.
Racism?
You're supposed to be laughing that there's someone speaking a language you don't speak. I'm going to put that in air quotes because you're supposed to be a white person watching this movie. You're supposed to be a white person watching it. And, like, They're speaking crazy, crazy Latin language, and that's the joke. That is literally the joke.
Can I point out another hilarious joke?
Please.
When he meets a black preacher after he's done speaking with Ruben Blades.
Oh, God.
And Joe Pesci, and this is bring out the laughs, he starts singing in like a Paul Robeson impression.
Uh-huh.
Okie dokie, Sam Simon, whatever just, you say, buddy.
Just because I liked Goodfellas? Yeah. Is this what you're selling me, man? Jesus Christ.
There needs to be like at least like one white guy in the building. One white family or mm-hmm. something, because it that would like ease the racism and make it more of a class thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Which makes more sense.
Yeah.
But
instead, I mean, like, the movie chooses
I grew
to,
up in a slum. That's how that works. You know what I mean?
The Sadek should have been in this movie.
We should have been.
But instead, the movie chooses to have nothing but minorities in this building. So then Joe Pesci can accurately just scream animals at them.
Yes. Then,
later
then
in the movie.
All over, we're calling them animals.
Yeah. It's
Vincent Gardini is going off on some deep shit.
He's the one making up all those ancient Italian racism words.
That dining fucking scene. Jesus.
Which we're going to get to. So he as he's leaving his building, he's got all his rent. He got all the rent. I didn't fix anything. Enter the quote unquote love interest or whomever this lady is.
Yeah.
What's the actress's name?
Let me look it up real quick. I hadn't recognized her from anything. Heather is the character. The actress's name is Stacy Travis.
She's the wife from Funny Farm. And it's funny because this was originally supposed to be Chevy Chase, not Joe Pesci.
You know who she plays? Power Woman and Mystery Men.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, no, you're mixing up. That's his actual girlfriend, the blonde
woman. That's who I thought you were talking about.
Oh, the lawyer or whatever.
Oh.
Because like he's like getting into his fucking little Ferrari. Oh, yeah, look at my little fucking Ferrari.
Yeah, Madeline Smith Osborne is her name. Yes, she was Chevy Chase's wife in Funny Farm.
She comes in. He's about to leave, and she's like, are you Louis Kritzky? He's like, yeah, honey, who wants to know? And it's like, you're serve with a subpoena because you're a slumlord. You know what I mean?
And like, yeah, she works for NYCHA, like New York City Housing Authority.
It's like you have to show up in court in 30 days or whatever the fuck it is. And then he's like, ah, fuck. This is the dining room scene. And I actually didn't know that Heather, who we just talked about, this woman who played Power Woman in Mystery Men.
Yeah.
I thought that was his sister. I couldn't get that.
So did I.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first, too. Yeah.
Until later in the movie, he tries to, like, assault her.
Because
I was like, oh, okay.
The father does ask her, like, oh, so how far did you go in school?
Yeah.
And I guess that's tipping us off that it's not his daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's
and,
true.
And she says, well, in high school, I was pretty buttoned up, but once I got to community college, I let them do anything.
Oh, yes, that's right.
It's
kind of funny.
Yeah,
that's a funny joke.
So it's like, and the dad, he's like, oh, my God, Dad, they're going to fucking throw me in jail. And he's like, oh, Louis, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Slap on the wrist.
I've gone through this millions of times. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And it's fine. And I mean, this is the dining room scene. He's like, we're not going to fix those animals' doors or anything like
it's
that.
It's not the word animals. It's some really fucking deep shit.
For the purposes of this conversation, it's a word.
And he's like talking about them eating each other back in the day. I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, it's
Grand
bad.
Dragon fucking Kursky.
They're eating each other,
yeah.
These animals.
Put C's on all their doors.
Well, that's the thing. That's why this isn't a Trump building, though. Mm.
Yeah,
because he wouldn't let that. They wouldn't.
There's
let,
people of color in it.
Exactly.
He wouldn't be leasing to people of color. That was the whole reason for the C's.
That's true.
And then the mother that's just sitting there. This is the woman who played. You recognize her, Aunt Clara, Bewitched. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yep. Just hanging out in this movie, smiling politely with her super racist husband.
And that's the thing is, I mean, like he is so racist, and by extension, so is Joe Pesci. And I don't think any of them either of them ever get there, like in terms of like redemption, anywhere near it.
It's so phony baloney at the end of this movie, though.
When young Louis is in the start of this movie and the father's beating up that tenant,
yeah,
you see like they're trying to give Louis a little bit of a heart, like he doesn't really want this dude to get
assaulted, yeah.
And that's like throughout the whole film where it's just like Joe Pesci is racist and terrible, but there's a little part of him that doesn't want to be.
Yes.
He doesn't want them to die. I think that's what it really comes down to.
How can you can't pay the rent when you're dead?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The dead can't pay, dude.
Where's this stupid treadmill? He's on a treadmill in his shitty apartment.
That's after
it's after the sentencing. Trial. So he goes to trial, and the whole time his father's been like, you're just going to get a fine and a slap on the wrist. They'll get you out of there. This judge,
Who's the black judge, which is very specifically, and it's like, oh no, we got the wrong judge kind of again.
Which the dad definitely points out.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And she says, all right, so this is the Seinfeldian stipulation. You have to live in a unit in your own building, and you have 120 days to fix it all up, or you're going to go to jail for a year. And then the way the father starts twisting his arm is he says, you know, supers, Kritzkys don't do nothing. So you're not going to do a thing. You're going to sit there for that 120 days.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, too, is like he's like, you're not going to fix a light bulb. Also, like the thing is, the sentence is that you just have to do it for 120 days. You have to do it within 120 days or you go to jail.
Right. Yes. Oh, right.
So like
just go to jail then.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're going to go to jail anyway, just go to jail if that's the case.
And the dad is the threat of this is if he does fix even one light bulb, he's cutting him out of the will and he's not going to get the rest of the dad's real estate empire.
Which is, I think is estimated at $20 million, which is like one of those stupid fucking Twitter polls you see is like, would you spend a whole day watching the same movie for $1 million? Yeah, fucking course I would. It's $1 million.
I did participate in that, by the way.
Would you eat nothing but bad food for 2 days, but then you get $30 million? Yeah, of course I fucking would.
Give me that $30 million right now,
Who are these fucking tweets for? Like Warren Buffett and Jeff Bezos? Be like, nah,
exactly.
I wouldn't do that.
We're all starving in the streets. Yeah, we're all going to do it for whatever it is.
Yeah, sure. I'd watch The Big Lebowski for 24 hours. Why
I would
not?
Do most and all sexual things for $1 million.
Oh, name
you
it.
Better
oh,
fucking name your price.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Anything goes. Right into the mailbag.
This is where...
Oh, yeah, that's an open invitation. FYI.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have the money. We got to see the money first.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't want this half... You know, before half
now, half later. No, that's
you hand
scam.
It to me while it's happening.
Now I'm imagining after whatever horrific thing happens, it's a room full of money, and then Eric sets his half on fire, and it's like, why?
It's about showing a message.
He takes all his money out onto a boat, and he just lights it all on fire like the beach bum. So this is where he's back at his like penthouse and he's like on a portable phone talking to the lady friend and he gets on this treadmill and dude, Joe Pesci doing his like fast Joe Pesci walk on this treadmill, legitimate laugh.
Because his dad's like, we're going to beat this. You're not going to spend a day in that building. Don't worry about it. And then like his dad calls him and is like, by the way, you're going to have to do it. And he goes, what? And he like falls
over. And there is this shot that they do, it's like Pesci POV because you see it like it's his point of view. Vincent Gardini is standing in front of the treadmill, and you see Pesci go like wah, and it's just a camera getting pulled away from Vincent Gardini and then falling backwards.
Yeah,
it is stupid as fuck.
It is great. There are multiple Pesci POV shots in this movie.
Yes.
We'll get to one later.
Do you know who shot this?
No,
Bruce Surtees of Night Moves.
Oh, is that right?
Same guy who shot Night Moves shot the fucking super.
Man, Joe Pesci should have had some erect nipples in this movie, man.
Your erect nipples.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, my nipples are hard. Fuck you.
Yeah, I cut glass with these things. What? What of it?
First of all, so then he's like, all right, fine. I'm going to live in this my shitty building for 120 days to get $20 million, essentially. I'm a millionaire. I'm getting all sorts of books, magazines. Yep. I'm getting... Mm-hmm. All sorts of entertainment. Because
he's like penthouse.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, definitely. Well, nothing but pornography. But like, he's not allowed to leave unless he is going to just for groceries and that's it or something like that. That's
right.
Part of the stipulation. Basically, house arrest.
Like, get people to fix the fucking
those
place.
Are the two things, which also you can totally get around. He doesn't have a fucking anklet. You know what I mean? Like, and that's it doesn't seem like anyone's checking in on him.
No one's monitoring. It's just this one lawyer.
But I would load up this fucking apartment with shit. I would bring, and also I would not take my Ferrari there. I would take a fucking cab. You know what I mean? Like, why would you leave your Ferrari in this neighborhood? Which
why
you know
would you
is
leave any car on the street at all?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
especially if you're not allowed to leave, you're not gonna whatever. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, it's just purely so they, the residents of the neighborhood can strip it in a scene that's coming up. He's like, so you walk around, you get a feel for like what this apartment is. He's got a backed up sink that like bubbles. This is a fucking terrible line where he's like, oh great, I got a sink that farts. Did you notice all of these lines? Like he's walking through this apartment.
Yeah.
It's all terrible ADR.
Yeah, well, I thought it was voiceover.
I thought so too. There's another moment where you do hear his thoughts when he gets out of the car before he gets in the building. And he's like, he's trying to like psych himself into it. He's like, yeah, it'll be fine. You're just going to live here. All you got to do is sleep. It'll go by like that. And I'm like, wow, this is bad ADR.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you hear there's like a slight echo on it. And then you're like, oh no, it's his thoughts.
Yeah. It'll be like camp.
Yeah.
And then when he gets in there, one of the other lines is around the sinking fart. He's like, oh, wall to wall, shit.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
How do you not know this? You own this fucking building.
Yeah.
This movie's kind of a hard R a bit. Like, there's no nudity, but like, we're saying fuck.
He's saying fuck all over it, yeah.
And it's like, so then who is this movie for? You know what I mean? Like, it's
meet me at 12.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's actually true.
Yeah, I don't know why I watched this that much.
I saw it a ton as well. Like in watching it last night, I was like, oh wow, that part. Oh wow, that part.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I just wasn't even thinking about.
So yeah, he winds up like he tries to sit down in a chair to go to sleep, and then you know, like a spring pops out right by his head. He winds up like sleeping in a sleeping bag on the floor. And he wakes up the next morning and there's a little kid sitting in the window looking at him, and they have this whole fucking exchange that is, it's quite racist. But the confounding line here is because Joe Pesci's like, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to fucking rob me? You're here to fucking rob me?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I was just curious about you. And I'm like, what the fuck for? Why would you care about this piece of shit guy?
I guess because if you, basically everything wrong with your life has something to do with this guy you want to see.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You get to see the guy that's been fucking you and your family for the last 20 years or whatever.
But part of that is you're just watching this dude sleep in a sleeping bag. I don't know. It was just a weird...
You know,
and the way the kid says it, too, is just like, I was just curious about you.
It's
like,
a power move.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You know what's a better power move, though? He should have snuck fully into the apartment and took his shit on the floor.
Mm. And, yes. Or piss on him.
Piss
on him, period.
Better move.
Oh, yeah, piss on me.
I'm better, a slumlord, piss on me.
Take a bunch of twigs, tie them together, Blair Witch style, and just start leaving them around his apartment.
Yup. That's the move, dude. Fucking psychological warfare.
This goddamn apartment's got rats. It's got druids.
Oh, fuck, the Blair Witch. Oh, great. Oh, great.
Why are you standing over there in the corner? Why are you standing over there in the corner?
Get your ass away from the fucking corner. Get over here. Get over here. Get out of the corner. Oh, who has the map? Who lost the map? Give me the map, Josh. Come on, Josh.
Give me the map.
I am so scared.
Don't you turn off that camera. I will kill you if you turn off that fucking camera. Listen to me.
Oh, well, you know, it won't be so bad. It'll be like camp. Go out into the woods.
You find a Blair Witch.
This is a better remake than that Adam Wingard remake.
Oh, my God.
That movie sucked.
It sucked a dog's ass.
And I like Adam Wingard. I'm like, come on.
So
man.
Do I. I was shocked at how bad that movie was. What a letdown.
Maybe it's Stay Tuned. Who knows?
Yeah. There's like nothing there.
Yeah.
You know where there is something, though? This might be a Stay Tuned for the Spooktacular.
The Book of Shadows.
Joe Berlinger's Book of Shadows, dude.
I dare you to make sense of that movie.
Book of Shadows.
I'll try and see it a third time, dude. I watched most of it on Shudder recently. I saw it in theaters.
Ooh.
Dude, one great thing that's like shows you the time in which that came out, nu metal out the ass.
Of course, man. It was like 2000, whatever. Or maybe just the year 2000, probably.
That guy should not make narratives. Because that movie sucks. And that fucking Ted Bundy movie fucking sucked.
Atrocious.
It fucking sucked.
That's the Zac Efron one?
I think Efron's good in it, but like that is an incompetently made movie. Stick to documentaries, please.
So he goes grocery shopping because he's got his girlfriend coming over.
That's another thing. Can I just ask about that?
Sure.
Aside from, like, I guess he wants to get laid, like, why would you invite this woman to this apartment?
It's a slum. You can't. I mean, I guess because he thinks, like, whatever. Like, I just want my fucking dick sucked. Hey, I'm Joe Pesci. I want a fucking weird little blowjob.
Yeah, the woman who hates
you. Give me the BJ.
And then he got the world's tiniest blowjob.
Oh, man.
At least a hand job. Have a little handy. Have a little handy for Joe.
So he goes to get like food, and again, like, you know what neighborhood you're going into. If you have specific dietary restrictions or stuff that you like, bring it. Go to D'Agostino's on 92nd Street and bring it the fuck down there.
But this is another thing though, where it's like, why why can't he realize like where he is? Like he goes into this bodega and he's like, so what kind of wine do you have here? I'm like, it's a fucking bodega, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And there's got to be a liquor store in the neighborhood, number one, that sells wine. But he gets like a bottle of like, I don't even know, like a...
It's like, just like hooch, man. Yeah. It's like a 50-cent bottle of hooch.
I did kind of laugh at the bread when he picks up the bread and it's just it's a solid totally rock. Hard.
Yeah,
I kind of love that there's a pool table in this bodega, by the way.
It looks
that
like
was
a
pretty
good
sweet.
Time,
what a hangout, man.
Mm, I've seen some bodegas like that.
Yeah?
Man. Oh, yeah. Just, yeah, you get like a little too many people hanging around and you're like, well, what's really going on?
Absolutely.
Here?
Like you go in, a bunch of dudes are like playing cards in the back.
you're just like,
yeah, I just need some toilet paper. You guys keep doing your thing.
Dude, man, you should go back to one of those places, walk up to them and say you want the special. What's the special?
My throat cut.
Well, it's like anytime you'd walk into one of those places in Astoria, those like social clubs.
Oh, right, yeah. And, soccer my ass.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're just some like fucking shitty millennial white kid. Like, do you have brunch?
Yeah.
And it's like, get out.
No, we Ruja organization.
They need the Italian mafia like I had. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh,
right.
The Italians.
Yeah, so like this dude, the guy working at the bodega has some great line right here. He's like, well, because Pesci says something like, well, why don't you have any of these things? And the guy's like, because we don't have shitty fucking white people like you coming into the store. Like, whatever the line is.
White prick.
Yeah, oh, then he calls him a white prick. I was like, ooh, solid, solid line, bodega
all right,
guy.
All right, just give me the Mr. Uptown's wine-like hooch and this bread, and I'm getting out of here.
Mr. Uptown.
Well, that's the thing is, how is he surviving then? Is he just eating this bread this whole movie? Yeah, I'm like a little rat. Because he's never shown to be eating regular food.
I don't understand. Like, other than the scene we're going to get to, like, not just the sink, it's the bathtub and the toilet are all filled with water all the time. Where is he shitting and where is he pissing?
I think it's a fucking Folgers coffee crystal can situation.
That
dude.
Might very well be.
And then you just huck it out the window.
Yep. Total window drop.
Wait. It's a potpourri. It smells delicious.
It's like the Middle Ages, man. You're just
I'm shitting in garbage bags. Yeah, whatever.
Oh
whatever. Whatever. I'm shitting in garbage bags. Whatever.
That I happens. Thought we were going to get that, though.
My elderly neighbor broke her hip, and she had to move out of her unit.
Sure.
And they discovered like that she had no running plumbing for years.
Mm-hmm.
What?
And she was going to the bathroom in garbage bags.
That's a hoarder's
move, and taking
it
out to the dumpster.
Wow.
That, yeah, it's...
Dude,
nasty.
What is the point of having a homeowners association if they're not catching stuff like this?
Oh, so that's how you learned it.
I was digging through her trash, dude, looking for the goodies.
And now you shit in baskets all day long.
His girlfriend shows up. And
right.
Like, it's one thing to be like, and she's like, oh, this place is gross. Because, like, you know, it kind of is. And she's like, oh, this place is gross. And he's like, yeah, just get inside. And it's like, well, it would be one thing to be like, you want to listen to a record? You want to, I got some, but he's like, fuck me. He turns into like fucking Robert Blake in fucking Lost Highway all of a sudden.
Well, because his whole thing is like, yeah, I'm in fucking prison, so this is my conjugal visit. Suck my dick.
Yeah, I'm at your house right now.
Yeah, dude, someone picks up the phone. It's Joe Pesci. But yeah, so he's just like, oh God.
And that's what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just disgusting. It's like a little rat person trying to fuck somebody. And he's like chasing this woman around the apartment. And she's just like, listen, I don't. And he's like, come on, baby. Come on. It's my conjugal visit. Let's get fucking.
Well, she says something specifically like, what, you want me to lay on this? Because he's got like just like not even a futon, like a mat on the floor.
It's two mattresses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you want me to lay on that and spread my legs and try not to throw up? And I'm like, holy shit.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong at all. I'd be thrown up if I was getting fucked on that mattress by Joe Pesci.
And he literally says, yeah, could I do that? That would be great.
Oh, of course. Of course he does.
Now, let me pump my little maggot in you.
Oh, Lord in heaven.
I mean, yeah, this is a monstrously disgusting character. I guess he would have a disgusting maggot genitalia.
Oh, he likes you.
Oh, he's got a little quado down there, you
think? Yes, definitely.
Oh, man.
Start the reactor.
And by that, I mean start the foreplay.
Oh, God.
I'm not Louie. He's Louie.
Oh, no.
Okay, Mulder, I believe there are extraordinary things going on.
Shredder, I'm your penis.
Yeah.
So she fucking hightails it, by the way.
Of course, and I guess they're effectively broken up. And
it's
like
a tragedy.
The kid and him kind of go back and forth. The kid offers hold his groceries. And again, the kid doesn't really have a complete arc either. You kind of want, like, they walk by a guy who's a drug dealer, and that's his dad, and it's like, yeah, that's what's going on.
Yeah, you know, it's just so, like, it sets up so later Joe Pesci can kind of do something
noble-ish.
Baseline humanitarian.
Yeah. And now this is the basketball scene because he's just actually runs by Ruben Blades. Is it Blades or Blades?
It's Blades, I believe. Yeah.
I like saying Blades.
Yeah. No, it's kind of cooler, but I saw a documentary where he's saying his name quite a bit.
All right.
I don't believe him. I'm going with Blades.
I don't know, Mulder. It looks like his name is Ruben Blades.
But he's good, and this is a good role for him.
He is good in this movie. So one of the things he's doing a little three card Monty in one of these scenes,
yeah.
And he winds up ripping Joe Pesci off because, like, he's got a dude who's like a ringer,
yeah.
And Joe Pesci thinks that he's like taking advantage of this guy who's also a ringer, and they rip $200 from him, and Ruben Blades is like, well, I got my rent now,
yeah.
Kind of a thing. Yeah, and the kid, I guess, works. He does like deliveries for that bodega,
sure.
And Joe Pesci, like, gives him like $10 to like take his bag of bread and hooch bottle back to the apartment or whatever. There's a weird thing here where he's like, yeah, I'm fucking tough. And like a gun goes off,
yeah.
And the kid just stands there, and Joe Pesci like jumps into a pile of garbage bags.
Where he belongs. So he's trying to like entertain himself, and then Ruben Blades shows up. He's like, hey man, we're playing basketball. You want to play basketball?
Dude, this is the TV reception thing.
Oh right.
There's a large,
oh, God,
like, bunch of minutes of this movie where you're and this is some Pesci POV.
This is what, yeah, I was talking about. This is great.
He's
POV.
Holding this like little portable television up, like, these, trying, like, to get reception.
So they must have like rigged in front of the camera like these little doll hands to be holding this little portable television.
So I brought my daughter's dolly in, and we're just gonna, and this one pees a little bit, so just watch out.
They had some leftover props from Doll Man, and,
oh, right,
to put it back,
that's
in there,
of course.
Yeah.
But this was the first instance where I started thinking about this Home Alone 2 situation, because Ruben Blades opens the door and kind of like frightens him, and Joe Pesci falls off this. He's on a chair trying,
yeah,
to get the reception, and he falls like flat on his face, and the television breaks and everything. And I was like, huh, Joe Pesci doing this like physical injury comedy,
yeah,
in a building that desperately needs renovation,
sure,
eh? And we'll see later where he literally like falls through a bunch of floors. I'm just saying, I think John Hughes saw Home Alone 2.
The other thing...
Well, he did see Home Alone 2. He saw the Super.
Saw the Super. Yeah.
Oh, he definitely,
yeah,
saw the Super.
No, he didn't.
I imagine he just refused to watch. He's like, no, yeah, I wrote it. Fuck it.
I think that might be the case.
You never know.
He was the first one to take his name off it. Then Nora did. And then at the same time, was like, enough! No, like, that's the other thing, is they kind of suggest he's also a gambling addict.
Yeah, well,
like,
because
he's doing this, and then there's later, he wants to put the three-card Monty,
yeah,
and he,
yeah,
wants
he
to
wants,
put money,
oh,
on,
yeah,
another thing later.
They gamble on the basketball game,
yeah,
at,
yeah,
one,
yeah,
point.
So the kid, so they brings about, hey, you want to play basketball? Yeah, I'll play fucking basketball. And this is when he gets in everyone's favorite outfit.
This
like,
is amazing.
Polo.
Oh, my,
it's,
God.
It's like a polo hoodie thing.
It's a it's a Ralph Lauren polo hoodie. Then he's got these like sweatpants shorts,
uh-huh,
and these big socks that come up like over his knees. And the joke that one of the guys at the basketball court has is totally, he looks like he's about to go practice hockey.
Oh, right.
Because one of the guys is like, who brought the hockey player?
Or you know what, Chris? You had said that you remember stuff that wasn't in this movie and that there might have been a longer cut.
Yeah.
I remember there being, because he is wearing Reebok pumps.
Yeah.
I remember there being an extended pump,
right,
gag, right?
I think you're right. I think this,
really?
This is...
I think you see him get dressed. I think that's,
yeah,
the thing.
And he's like pumping him up.
There,
yeah,
was pump gags in everything. I know there was in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes, of course.
So I wonder if I'm conflating the two, because,
yeah,
that's kind of the same baby shit I was watching at the time.
The biggest one is Austin Powers
when it explodes in his face. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We loved making those pump jokes. Yeah.
Absolutely. So
do you think they went back and cut out the pump joke?
Yeah, I guess that doesn't make any sense.
But maybe.
Yeah.
Because I remember there being more of a conclusion to him and the prosecutor, who eventually does kind of have a crush on him.
She definitely does. I will say this movie is suspiciously 85 minutes long.
Yeah.
Well, I have a quote from the director that I will save for the end, but he does confirm his first cut to the studio, 2.5 hours.
You know what? And in that 2.5 hour cut, we're using the N-word.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guarantee you. That's why it had to be stripped so much. All the constant use of the N-word.
Oh, we're going through Walt Disney's whole book on that one.
2.5 hours. That means... this is what, like 86 something minutes?
85 minutes, I think, yeah.
So that's like another one.
Yeah.
A whole other...
Double it.
It's almost, It's almost as long as 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, shit, I turned into a baby.
All right. I'll take it.
The Stargate, oh my God, it's full of stars.
Holy shit, it's full of stars.
Give me the monolith.
So he's playing basketball, and it's like these dudes are all laughing.
There's this one really tall dude that is called the Milkman. It's Ruben Blades. His team is Ruben Blades, and this guy named the Milkman. It's like, why do you call him the Milkman? Because I killed the Milkman, which is kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's something. Sort of something. It's a thing. It's a line of dialogue.
Wouldn't it just be because he delivers?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, now he does, like, Joe Pesci does well at this game, and the Milkman doesn't, so he's like, oh, he doesn't deliver. There's a line that does happen. But in this scene, Joe Pesci dunks. Is he a Jedi Knight?
Dude,
does he do this force jump?
Why don't you fucking bring out the Mary Sue complaints, man? How is Joe Pesci good at basketball?
I didn't see him train at all. It's bullshit.
Well, hustling.
They are.
But he is able to make shots, which is insane.
He's able to dunk, and you don't see him take off. You kind of just see him... The upper body,
yeah.
You see him like ascend to the net and hold on.
But I guarantee you,
and then he hangs on there and he laughs like.
If there was a behind the scenes featurette, you would see like the big stuntman.
Oh, yep.
Lift him up like you would give a little kid a dunk. Yep. Like,
totally.
Here you go for the big dunk, Joe. Go for the big dunk, Joe.
But it's not just that though. It's like he has a real solid understanding of like the fundamentals of basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he and Ruben Blades, who have never played basketball together,
sure,
these two characters are playing for the first time. Dude, they're doing like fucking set and pick and rolls like you would never believe.
And they are getting hustled. Because like, okay, that game went so well. How about we play another game for money? And he's like, yeah, sure. I'm so good at fucking basketball. Like, yeah.
He's doing this baby.
Yes, of course.
He's doing this baby thing. Like, we're kicking their ass. We're kicking their ass. Kicking their ass.
And it's like, oh, do you want to pay $100? No, let's do $200, $300. Like, it goes up. And then they finally start actually playing defense on him, and it's kind of fun to watch fucking Joe Pesci get rejected for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Dude, there is one nice, like, this dude, like, sets a total charge on him, and Joe Pesci's, like, running out of the way. It's like Indiana Jones and the boulder. It's fucking hilarious. So, but is this a thing though? Ruben Blades scams Joe Pesci here also?
Yeah, he's just been scamming him the whole movie.
Because they get the $200, and then Blades walks away with the other team, and they're all laughing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like, he also has a line like during the game. He's like, what is happening?
Oh my gosh, we're losing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, yeah. Reminded me of White Men Can't Jump, actually, a little bit.
Totally. I'm kind of due for a rewatch on that movie.
Better. Hold me. Well,
yeah, of course.
A really good movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. You want to name every movie that's better than this?
Yeah. It's everything but The Birth of the Nation.
Well, for the time, Chris, it's quite a technical achievement.
I'm sure it was, buddy.
So he's like walking back from having fun with his like sort of new friends, whatever, and the fucking dad is there. And it's just another swift bit of racism. He's disgusted because Joe Pesci at this point has hired an electrician to come in and fix all the lights. And the dad is flipping out because there's like a foyer light that's on in the middle of the day.
At this point, the dad is trying to get Paul Kersey out of retirement to take care of this building.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah, fucking Death Wish 4, the crackdown.
How many blacks are in that building?
I'll take care of it.
Sounds like Christmas came early.
You're not going to spend money on electricity, but you're going to spend it on a rocket launcher.
And he is screaming and yelling, and this is like the most uncomfortable New York City sidewalk scene since Godfather. Like, I was certain that this guy was going to take a fucking trash can top and just start hitting people.
But it's also, like, super anti-Semitic. He's like, you don't need lights during the day? And, like, he's doing this thing. He's turning the light off. He's a very frugal landlord in all of the air quotes you can get.
Right, because I guess they're supposed to be Jewish in this?
Kritsky, probably, you know? Yeah.
Somewhere around here, I don't want to lose it because it's... I want to point out all the times that Joe Pesci's humiliated in this movie, or as many as I can remember.
Okay.
Where he's got to fucking take his shit and his toilet's backed up. And, like, he's got to go downstairs to the neighbor. And she, like, won't let him use the toilet to take his shit. Fucking awesome.
Well, great line here.
Yeah, it calls back to the Lincoln did. Because he's like, what do you want me to do? Shit outside in the middle of the street? Lincoln did.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Slams the door in his face.
But that's the thing, though. So, like, the rule is he can't fix his apartment unless the rest of the building is fixed.
Right.
But some apartments do have electricity. Some apartments do have plumbing. So then why can't he fix his own plumbing? Like, if
they all have to, though.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
I think it's also a thing where, like, he has to, like, service himself last. Yes. It's like everybody else.
Oh, great, I gotta get serviced last again.
Sorry, maggot, this'll have to wait.
Oh, no.
Littlest Lou.
Oh, God.
And then after he shoos the dad away, we have a music cue cut here. It's Joe Pesci just standing in the middle of the street. Nothing is going on until everybody dance now. And it's just like cuts to that evening or something. There's a dance party going on.
And he's like just upstairs. He's playing like the ball and the paddle. And again, dude, you're an adult. Have interests. Bring these interests to this place.
It's not a character, right? There's no hobbies. There's nothing fleshed out about this guy besides that he inherited money.
He inherited money.
Well, that's what rich people are, actually.
Right.
That's all they do. They inherit money and they have nothing going on behind their eyes.
They're fucking useless. They're just preparing a Ducati in the yard for forever.
He's got the... like ball on a string paddle ball thing, and then he loves doing crossword puzzles.
Yes,
he's got like a book of crossword puzzles. That's it.
And they're playing CNC Music Factory, and he can't. I mean, like, this is the thing. It's 1991. You cannot resist that beat.
No, of course I could barely resist it in 2019.
Yeah, I was getting off the couch like Bernie Lomax.
Well, speaking of which, dude, it happens twice in this movie, and it's fucking unsettling as all get out. Joe Pesci's laying back on his, like, mattress, bed/couch.
Like, do I satisfy you, maggot, or what?
He is sitting there, and, like, CNC Music Factory is going on, and you see it happens so much in this movie, but twice while he's laying, he's doing, like, lay-down dancing.
Yeah.
And the way they're shooting him is, like, the camera is, like, on the floor, just staring at Joe Pesci, and, like, you're just getting his fucking hog bulge, like, right in frame, and he's, like, dancing on the couch while laying down. It's very weird.
It's maggot first. I mean, he leads with the maggot.
And I think at this point, Ruben Blades is like, hey, we're having a party downstairs. Why don't you come down? He's like,
this is the second party. First party is it's again him being embarrassed as he goes downstairs. Yeah. And first he's like trying to dance in the doorway and he walks in and then everybody's ignoring him.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then he's like banging on the door. And this is where like it turns off for 2 seconds and he's like, you keep it fucking down. People are trying to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And the music instantly comes back on and they start dancing again. Another great humiliation.
Is this when he falls through the floor? I think, or is that later as well? Whatever it happens. At some point, he falls to the floor. This is when we get a new wig, by the way, because he's got like, he looks like Frankenstein for a second. Because like, it's supposed to be like frazzled, so they had to get a different wig.
Yes, me as Joe Pesci's wig. This is when I brought in the stunt wig.
I thought he got replaced. They didn't like him anymore. Rod Daniel was like, get me a new one.
Well, I had the flu for a week and I just couldn't shoot, so we had to bring in the other wig.
They had to cut around me.
And then when Nora walked, I walked.
Listen, if Nora's good, Nora's script, it's right here, you guys. If we're not shooting the script as Nora wrote it, I walk.
They brought in one of Bruce Willis's wigs to replace me on the set. And, you know, he did a good job. I'm not going to talk shit here.
Are these rewrites? Sam, are these rewrites?
I'm walking.
little wig walking around.
You're right, though, Steve. This is where he goes back upstairs and he starts like stamping on the floor and he fucking falls through two stories of this apartment building. Falls through the floor.
And then it's the same Latin couple from the beginning and there's like a moment of, because like, he falls through like their dinner table.
Right.
And like they're all staring at each other and he goes, it wasn't broken before you did it. And it's like, that's the gang.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But then they also erupt into the Latin language again, which is like, oh my God, what is going on? Well, they're talking so
fast. That was
fast.
Such a joke for so long. Yes. Like, just anyone speaking any other language. Like, Japanese was a huge joke. Like, if you got somebody just speaking Japanese in a movie, that was a joke.
Right, and they all had cameras, too.
Yes, exactly. And he's getting more repairs done. And I don't understand. Like, the point of it is, like, yeah, you have to do those repairs or else you're going to go to jail, dude.
But he wants to hang on to the real estate empire. Like, he's sort of willing to do time to get the rest of this fortune.
The lawyer love interest comes by when they do rewire the electricity and he says, like, oh, you want to see my agenda? And he points to Maggot.
But what's insane about that is after. It's an exchange in where a man has said, do you want to see my agenda? He points to his fucking dick and laughs. And then this woman walks away. When we see her walking towards the camera, she does one of those like half smiles like, that guy's kind of crazy, but he's charming though. And I was like, no, movie, no.
He's 4 foot tall, 60 years old, and wearing a wig. And he's like, look at my dick.
Yeah, and it's somewhere around here too where he's talking about like, oh, my body. Like, you could come in, you could come into my house and see my body.
And he dresses like the baby from Adam's Family Values.
He really does. Dude, that's so funny, Kevin.
The cut of the clothes are not really flattering.
He has some of these sweaters that I made a note that he's dressing like Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
He's got some of these big baggy sweaters on and he's kind of like hunchbacked for some reason.
He says something like you're drawn to me like a moth to the flame. Like, like you got a great body. You know that? You know you got a great body. I got a great body.
Oh,
too.
That's what he says. Yeah. When does he say that she has got legs like chapstick?
That's early. Way early.
That's
early.
Like the first meeting.
Yeah,
because he's like, who are you talking about? Oh, that broad over there, legs like chapsticks.
If you saw me naked, you'd think I'd have a great body.
That's right. Yeah, if you saw me naked, he says, too.
Looks like melted cheese.
Also, by the way, during the trial, he was doing kissy faces at her.
Oh, right. Definitely.
Which is, like, really fucked up.
That's some Ted Bundy shit, dude.
Honestly, heinous. Like, do not do kissy faces, especially not in a serious manner.
And my agenda right here, honey, is... When he's talking to the exterminator, Dr. Death, and him and Fred Luchter are just talking, and like he's talking about how the Holocaust definitely didn't happen.
Yeah, sure, for sure, yeah.
I mean, test the paint in the walls of this building. There's no way there was gas.
Oh my God.
Holy fuck, Dr. Death, the movie.
Mr. Death. It's fucking
amazing. Oh, Mr. Death.
That's what's an Errol Morris documentary. That movie is something else.
It really takes a couple turns, that movie.
Just a couple.
Well, the exterminator only comes on because we get one more POV shot of Joe Pesci sleeping.
Oh, right.
And there's like a big rat in his face. And then you hear lion roars.
I think it's a dream, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Because they do a thing where like it... There's a transition where everything sort of goes out of focus for a second, and I thought that was supposed to be like...
No, I think it's just him waking up.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, he's waking up to a rat.
It's just a stupid movie. Yeah.
This was the one that really... This really brought all the memories back.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
This one.
I thought that was funny. Roar? As a little kid, I was like, that's funny. You know that rat? That's funny.
Oh, man. And somewhere around here, speaking of taking odd turns, this movie tries to get a little emotional.
Yeah.
Where it's freezing out and Joe Pesci has purchased a space heater for himself.
Yeah.
And he's in the apartment and all the neighbors are banging on the door like, the radiator's broken, like we're all freezing. And he's like, yeah, you know, go back. What do you want me to do about it? It's cold out. It's winter or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so he's got his sleeping bag in the space heater and he like turns and he's warming his ass on the space heater. Yeah, like, And then he
warm
looks.
My maggot.
He looks, and the little kid is sitting in the window, like, seeing him doing it, and, like, does, like, a, like, kind of, like, shakes his head. And then Joe Pesci's looking sad here, and I'm like, oh, no, don't try to humanize the super.
Oh, that's what happens. And then he buys space heaters for everybody. They're coming out of a big truck, and his dad, this is, like, one of the bigger confrontations, but I'm like, you put
even one space heater in this fucking fire trap, dude, yes. Forget about it. Exactly. Not let alone if you're heating the entire building at once via space
and
heaters.
How does this work? Like, are you paying everyone's utility bill?
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, after 60 minutes of this, because there's 20 minutes left of the movie.
Sure, we're getting there, thank God.
Yeah.
This movie would have to be 3 years long for me to actually believe he becomes a better person.
Yes.
And it just turns on a dime like
that. Oh, it turns on a real funky dime in just a few scenes. We'll get to it. But this is great because this is where, like, Joe Pesci finally sort of stands up to his dad and he's like, you know, like, just get out of here. Like, let me handle this. This is my building. Yeah. Let me do it my
way.
Also,
I don't want to go to jail.
Also that. But this is where, like, the dad's, like, yelling at all the tenants, like, put those back. Would you steal that? Put that back. And the kid calls him a fat fuck.
He calls him buckwheat first. He's like, talking about buckwheat? And he goes, who you call buckwheat, you fat fuck?
Yeah.
Which is a really good one.
And that's where the R rating pays off. A little kid saying fat fuck is hilarious.
At this point also, like, as he's becoming human, the kid... he kind of like walks outside and he's watching, like, there's an argument with the grandmother and the father.
Yeah,
the father's buying him a bike.
Right. He's sleeping and, like, the argument from downstairs wakes him up and he goes to check it out. And it's like, because the little kid lives with his grandmother and the dad's trying to, like, give him this bike. And she's like, no, I know how you got that bike. Get out of here with this.
Joe Pesci's all like, you know, if she let you take the bike, it'd be like saying how he got that money was good.
Right.
And that's why he can't do it. And then there's a good confrontation back and forth about, like, well, you're a piece of shit.
Exactly. You know, all of your money is ill-gotten.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But your dad deals in misery. Like, yes, so do you, dude.
But that is erased at the end of the movie where the super buys the kid a bike, and it's just like...
Same thing. Same fucking thing.
Like, but it's justified because they're like, there's a little whisper exchange. Like, don't worry, I won't tell anybody how I got this bike. And it's like... Uh-huh. Yeah, all right, whatever.
Listen, drug dealers are way more noble than slumlords.
Absolutely. Drug dealers are way more noble than our current president. Absolutely.
Yeah, every one of them.
So here it is, though. This is where this movie has the formula for how you erase racism and racist thoughts and tendencies in a rich old piece of shit white guy.
Oh, let me get my pen out.
So here, everybody ready?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
All you have to do...
Okay.
Is put this man in a room with other peoples of color and just play MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This.
Not only that, though, you have to appeal to, like, the square dance in his blood that everyone has to be in a fucking row.
Yes.
And this is how parties commence.
It's insane.
They're all uniform. They're dancing in uniform.
This is where Ruben Blades is like, hey, we're having a party. Why don't you come downstairs?
Yeah, he's doing the right thing. He's giving them heat again, etc.
He gets the invite. So he goes down there and they dance to, like, the entire You Can't Touch This. And then it's fine because this is the end of the movie.
They are doing line dancing, Eric.
They're
almost doing the electric slide.
It's kind of very electric slide.
Yeah. Also, I saw some achy breaky heart moves going on there.
And, like, he's like, yeah, I'm doing a great dance. And he calls up the lady,
the lawyer.
The lawyer. Yeah. And he's like, hey, why don't you come down? See my maggot. And she's like, no, thank you. I've had a really long day. And
come on, it'll sing for you. It'll sing for you.
My maggot's good now. It brought everybody here. Is.
Turn on the reactor.
All this weird synth. Every time Joe Pesci puts his pants down, weird synth starts playing.
It's ridiculous. He has he is dancing in this scene. When he hangs up the phone, he's like out in the hallway on the call.
Yeah.
When he hangs up the phone, he goes, all right, I'm coming back. It's like him jumping back into a pool.
Yeah, she says, I can't. I've been so slammed with all these things that I'm doing. I couldn't even make it to the office today. I've just been, like, so swamped, but next time, blah, blah, blah.
Right. And she pointedly calls him Louie instead of Kursky for the first time. Says, all right, maggot's getting wet. Maggot's getting wet. Maggot's getting wet.
I wish you guys could see Chris Kevin dancing while he's saying that. It's pretty cute.
I have to do the maggot dance. I'm just thinking the little maggot dance.
That, like, sweaty Quado.
Yeah.
The erection. Yeah, it's going to take a while. I'm in my mid-40s, okay? All right.
He, put that hammer on repeat.
He winds up, he goes to bed, right, and he's woken in the middle of the night by his dad. He's like, Louis, your sentence is over. We got to go. And he's like, what? What are you talking about?
This is a weird thing. I was confused about the terminology that they're using, because throughout this entire ordeal, the dad keeps saying that the way he's going to get him out of this situation is he's going to get him off on bail.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're past the point of bail here. He's been sentenced. It's happened. It's over with.
It's house arrest. There's no bail.
Yeah, it was very confusing. But this, he says it again. He's like, oh, the bail came through. Let's get out of here in the middle of the night.
Well, I guess that's probably been his scam from the jump.
But this is fake, because this is where he had, the father hires an arsonist, professional arsonist.
And the guy's like, don't worry. Like, it's only going to be a roof fire kind of a thing.
No, he wants to burn this building. He wants to kill everyone. He wants to commit mass murder because he doesn't view these people as people.
But
it's okay.
I mean, it's crazy, though, man. The dead can't pay.
It's true. But the devil in the basement told him to do it.
So, like, they're in the car, and he's like, yeah, I got you out on bail. I gave it to that girl you're always talking to. He's like, wait a minute, that was today? She wasn't even work today. Dad, what's going on? And he's like, it'll be a little fire. It's a little fire. And I'm like, what?
And the fact that, like, he doesn't even, like, have to spell it out for Joe Pesci that much leads me to believe this is not the first time this dad has turned to burn like this.
Are you kidding me?
He knows an arsonist. You know what I mean? He knows
that's
this
true.
Guy.
He's got the guy in speed dial, maybe.
Exactly. It's happened before.
He refers to him as my arsonist.
Oh, he does beautiful work. Beautiful work. This guy could burn a building.
Oh, he's an artist. He's a true artist.
Do you need to do something illegal with your building? Hire Giuseppe Barbadaro and Sons arsonist professionals. Cigarette in bed? No problem.
He runs back up to the roof. There's this scumbag up there getting ready to light it up.
It looks like Elias Koteas a little bit.
I thought it was at
first. Yeah, I was like, oh, no. Ooh, no.
He has the big confrontation with the father.
And then, like, everybody from the, or at least the main characters of the building are standing behind him. Like,
everyone with a speaking line.
And he's like, hey, don't burn us alive. And he's like, what, you people? And I'm like, oh, man. Like, yeah.
And then it's weird because Pesci has to, like, he goes out and, like, apologizes to the dad. He's like, sorry for embarrassing you back there, Pop, but you were going to murder, like, 40 people.
There's, like, kids in there and stuff. It's pretty dark.
Yeah, I was like, sorry to embarrass you. Okay. Yeah.
Well, then the father now knows his son is lost to him and is just like, well, if you need me, goodbye.
Yeah.
Well, that's a thing that should happen and doesn't, is, like, he should confirm, like, that he's fucking, like, out of the will.
Yeah. Right.
He sort of doesn't do that. I
mean, I'm going to give all the money to Eric, all right? You're out of the will.
They should have, like, there was an earlier scene where he says, like, you're brainwashed like Patty Hearst.
Oh, right.
So, okay. I don't know. He should have just mentioned that he's under the spell again with these poor people.
I kind of love the arsonist because, like, Joe Pesci's like, you got to stop it. You got to stop it. He's like, fuck you. Oh, and then the father comes, and he's like, okay, stop it. He's like, oh, I already got paid.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Later on.
I could have killed 60 people tonight. I could have not killed 60 people tonight. I got $3,000.
Oh, we have a 24-hour cancellation fee.
Totally.
What amateurs paying a contractor?
Yeah,
just deport them. I don't understand.
I would have deported him. Get him out of here.
It's very quick. It works all the time.
What the movie should have done, though, is the dude, like, does it. And then it's a thing where Joe Pesci has to be a hero and, like, get the people out of the building.
I think that's what Trump actually is. Why do we go to Mexico? I got a couple of guys. We just set a fire, burn it down. Don't worry. These are my tricks of the trade.
Yeah, totally. How do you think that fucking fire in Trump Tower started, dude? Mm-hmm. Oh, what do you think we were trying to erase there? Just connect those dots. Yes,
the sequel to Art of the Deal, Art of the Condemned.
So peace has been made in the building.
The movie ends like that.
Absolutely. Well, this movie knows it's got to get out of town, man. Speaking of pulling a burn, this movie's got to get out of here.
Like, the arsonist scene happens, big wipe, and now it's the end of the movie.
And the building is fully renovated, paint job out front, the whole nine.
Ruben Blades, who's had like 9 lines in this movie, unfortunately, is like, he's the new super. That's it. Which is the movie building should have had a super to begin with.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is a thing, like, he's trying to leave, and they're all talking to him like, you still didn't fix this. You didn't fix my blah, blah, blah. And he's doing the, like, well, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. Don't talk to me. It's not my problem.
talk to Ruben Blades because now he's your super. Tricked you for a second. I'm still a nice guy, okay? Okay, okay.
It is weird, though, yeah, because there's this dynamic here where everyone still kind of hates him.
Yeah.
Which I guess is justified.
Yeah, that's sure. Actually a smart point that the movie, they're right. Like, oh, he saved us from his father's arsonist.
But so, I expect also, my kid froze to death last year.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, totally.
But I expected everyone, because it's a badly written movie, to be like kissing his ass.
You're totally right. But I think these characters remember that they've been shitting in garbage bags for the last year. So it's like, sure, you didn't burn us to death, but I've been shitting in a bag for the better part of a calendar year.
And they're like, oh, we got you a present, which is your car back.
Right, the car is fixed back up.
They put it back together, or did they?
He pulls out, and the whole gag, the last gag of this movie is a dude runs from across the street like, hey, where'd my car go? And the whole building goes, it went that away. Yeah. Freeze frame on a bunch of people pointing.
And Give me the rent. Oh, Give me the rent.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
It's good.
Oh, well, it's good.
You know what? It's good.
It's good.
Hey, are you listening to Joe Pesci rap on the Super album? Well, that's pretty good. Yeah,
but that's the thing, though. The kid.
It's Tito.
The kid Tito raps the verses. It's just they're sampling Joe Pesci going, give me the rent. Give me the rent.
And it's like the Superman, he's going to do this and that. And he's going to, and like, remember that joke from the movie The Super? That happened too.
And what's crazy is this is 2 weeks in a row now where we have a titular theme song ending the movie because Ghost of Girlfriend's Past last week did the same fucking thing.
Thank you, man. Matthew Sweet.
But
give me the sex.
But the kid is like, he's like doing this rabbit. This kid's like 9 years old, and he's like, you know, me and the super hanging out with all these sexy ladies. And I'm like, wait, you two are fucking together? What's going on?
Dude, deleted scenes, man. 2.5 hour cut.
And when he sees Maggot for the first time, the fucking orgy.
Me and Maggot dancing the hammer.
We're doing a bacchanal, baby. Oh, yeah.
Give me the rent. Give me the rent.
Having sex next to a little kid. It's not molestation because I'm next to him. Give it a rent.
Almost just spit out all this water everywhere. Holy shit. Oh, my God. It hurt.
Sorry. They're implying that they're having sex near each other.
You listened to this song way closer than I did, dude. I just had to hear the remixed, give me the rent. And I was like, ow, I'm fucking checked out.
And like his fake crying is also part of me. Like,
yeah, it's good.
It's fucking terrible.
No, it's pretty good. It's good.
Fuck, that's the end of this movie. Your favorite childhood movie, apparently, all three of you.
Yeah.
Would any of you recommend it in 2019?
It does not hold up. It's also just a mess. Like, either he should get with this woman or not get with this
she
woman.
She disappears.
She's gone.
Why isn't she even at the end? Right, she's not at the end.
Nope. The last scene is her just like talking in bed, really tired. Like, I don't want to be in the movie anymore. You know what?
Yeah,
guys?
It's fine. You can finish without me.
Yeah, but it's a mess. It's super racist, and I think that it knows it's super racist, but it thinks it's doing the right thing? ?
Absolutely,
it thinks it's bridging the gap between the races or something. It's like, look, I stopped the race war with the super.
Step aside, Spike Lee. Here comes a real solution to all of our problems, because the super is what's really saying something.
The only way that that does happen is if they burn down their penthouse afterwards. Like, the movie ends, he drives back, well, Ma, it was a really nice time. Oh, no!
He walks in, he shoots his father in the head, starts pouring gasoline all over their fucking high rise, their fancy house.
Give me the rent. It's playing in the background.
Dude, better movie. That's me. No,
yeah, big no. I also watched this 100 times as a kid, and it's I am deeply embarrassed.
Oh, sure.
And I still, and like, I really do not know what you're supposed to be entertained by in this other than Joe Pesci's delivery, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fun. I mean,
he's a star. I mean, this is actually the first movie he ever got top billing for.
And right. It's his worst performing movie of the time. It's like $11 million this made.
Yeah.
Wow.
Out of $22 million budget. So that's a bad.
Not good.
Oof.
Yeah. I also wouldn't recommend it because it is, you know, like you watch it a ton as a kid and now you watch it as an adult and you're like, wow, this is a blight on humanity.
Yep.
Now, this will forever be a one and done for me. I know that I have spent a large chunk of my life wasting time watching bad movies repeatedly, but I'm thankful that this was not one of them. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was like, yep, it was good that you acknowledged that was a stupid looking VHS box cover and you ignored this movie for the better part of 30 years because this is fucking trash.
Well, it's even worse because they cut out Maggot's musical number at the end.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello,
now, Chris Cabot, do you have quotes from this director?
Oh, right. This dude had some stuff to say about this
while
movie.
While you're getting that quote out, tweet us shrugs, poster shrugs, because you're just talking about the poster.
There has to be.
At WHM Podcast.
Hashtag movie shrug.
Yeah, and we'll retweet
was
them.
John Leguizamo shrugging on the cover of The Pest?
I don't know. Yeah, we're gonna have to. We're gonna.
No, he wasn't. No. He was up close to the.
He was presenting.
Camera
the,
was you're high right. angle. Yeah. But then, he's a turd eating smile on him.
I want to see those. I want to see those shrugs, Mister.
Show me those shrugs.
Show me the shrugs. So I have two quotes here.
Okay.
This is Rod Daniel. Both of them. This is him responding to his career in general.
Now, keep in mind, hang on, before we go any further, this man has passed away, so let's make sure we're being respectful.
Here. Oh, no, no. I mean,
respect the dead, even though they can't pay.
I'm quoting the man. It's going to sound like a cop-out, but when I retired, I never thought about these movies. Does that answer your question? I don't rank with the greats. I made these fucking movies because I could and because they paid me a great deal of money. Because
I could.
He's
this guy rules. This guy fucking rules.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Did he say fucking? Is that in the quote?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Expletive.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Which is not to say I didn't believe in what I did, but I hold no illusions. I wouldn't buy a ticket to any of my movies.
This guy rules.
Okay, and this is the longer one, but it's all about the super.
Well, we need to hear it.
The super? Perfect example of what I'm talking about. I took the movie knowing we had script problems, but if you have script problems, you're not going to solve it during production. The problem was Joe Pesci wasn't a fish out of water. He was a fish in water. That was the problem. Larry Gordon, the producer, said to me originally, look, get Chevy Chase, put him in the ghetto. That was the concept. But it was too pat. Take a really white guy and run him through the standard jokes about gangs and rap music, and since it's Chevy, comedy's there.
I think he's right, though, because Joe Pesci is like a little scrapper dude. You could picture him in an urban environment, obviously, Goodfellas and whatnot.
Sure. Yeah.
But if you get like an upper crust dude, you know, like playing it super white and corny.
Yeah.
Exactly. But instead, he's just this racist guy from the neighborhood. Like,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's the dude who's still there complaining about how the neighborhood used to be, quote unquote.
Exactly.
I remember sitting in my suite at the Regency New York with cards from the fucking script all over the place, and Nora Ephron, who wrote a lot of it, curled up in a fetal position during the under the dining room table.
Oh my God.
It's going to we could not solve the problem at the center of this movie, so we just started shooting it. And you can't do that, but you get in the bubble of a movie. I mean, I gave the studio a 2.5 hour cut. Can you imagine 2.5 hours of the super? You'd shoot yourself in the head.
Oh, my God.
End scene.
Hold on a second. This guy's the best director of all time.
I love it.
This dude rules.
But I keep loving it. I was like, you can't do it. No, don't do what I did. No, please. I did this. Do not do this.
This dude's awesome. He was trying to leave a cautionary tale behind.
Yeah, he was right.
Wow. Where did you find those?
He was in an interview because he moved to Chicago at the end of his life, and the Chicago Tribune just did a... catch up on him.
That's fucking so awesome. Speaking of Goodfellas, though, there was one other thing that I was kind of laughing about, because there is a bunch of like Home Alone business in this movie. But also, when you see Joe Pesci walk into like an unfurnished domicile, I was like, he's going to get shot in the head.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Which would have been fucking awesome. Oh, man. That is The Super from 1991, directed by what turned out to be an awesomely frank dude, Rod Daniel. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
Yeah, you'll get our Serenity episode, people are really liking. You'll get our Pokemon Animation Damnation, just in time for Detective Pikachu. You've got other stuff on there as well.
Well, we finally have the Gleep Glossary entry on one of the best.
Greedo. We've got a long one on Greedo. And you unlock that $8 level, not only do you get the commentary tracks we've done on films like Twilight and The Nexus, our Star Trek podcast, this Gleep Glossary includes you know,
we got
so
Greedo on there.
Greedo,
Pondababa's showing up. Yeah,
we've got a couple of them, and they're a lot of fun. So check it out, Star Wars Heads.
And the second you submit to any of those levels, you get all of the stuff that came before it.
Yeah, the entire archive.
All the our archive and exactly every single thing we've ever put on Patreon. Sometimes people are like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm going to sign up if I'm just getting stuff that you release this month." No, you get everything we've ever done.
Right. Now, here's the deal. We are starting next week a beloved tradition here on We Hate Movies, the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
So, Steve Sadek, what are we kicking off this year's SBE with?
G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra.
Now, is this the sequel? Or is this the first one?
This is the one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Retaliation's the second one.
Okay.
That's when they kill everyone that's in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
They do. You want to talk about pulling a fucking burn, man, an arsonist. He's like, we got this fucked up franchise. Well, what if they all burned in a fire?
So until next week, with the Rise of Cobra, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.